We're continuing with Eicha, and we're up to the second chapter. Eicha yaiv be'apo Adonai et bat Zion. How has Hashem cloudened the daughter of Zion? Yaiv, we're on the second chapter. Yaiv comes from the word avim, clouds. And the Megillah is lamenting how Hashem darkened Jerusalem, the daughter of Zion, Jerusalem that used to emit light, Jerusalem that had a chandelier, that as the sun rose, the chandelier shone throughout the city, a gold chandelier. Jerusalem of light has now become Jerusalem of darkness. Eicha, how? Yaiv Hashem be'apo. How has Hashem in His anger cloudened, darkened et bat Zion, the daughter of Zion? Hishlich mishamayim eretz tif eretz Yisrael. Hashem threw down from the heaven the pride of Israel, the glory of Israel, the temple. Velo zachar hadom raglav beyom hapom. The temple is referred to as hadom raglav. That's the pedestal on which one lifts one's feet. What's it called? The footstool. When a person sits down, so the footstool is where you raise the feet. The earth is like Hashem's feet. It says Hashemayim kisi. In the heavens, it's as though Hashem sits down. The heavens are beneath Hashem. V'ha'aretz hadom raglai. The earth is like Hashem's footstool. The earth and the Beis Hamikdash is what's supposed to elevate, so to speak, Hashem, Hashem's name. And so the epicenter of praising and recognizing and connecting with Hashem was the temple. That's Adom Raglav. And in the day of Hashem's anger, so then Hashem didn't have any mercy over the temple. Lo Zachar, over here, that didn't remember, is like didn't remember to have mercy on them. Now sometimes a person knocks someone down. A child, when they fall down, they don't get too hurt because they're short, they're small. One of the difficulties in doing therapy with adults is that they're very scared of falling, and rightfully so, because the bigger a person is, the taller a person is, the higher a person is, the more their fall is dangerous. And so the Navi purposely says, we were thrown from the heaven to the ground. Hashem raised us higher than any nation had ever been. Our golden era was much better than any other nation's golden era. And our connection with Hashem, and we had a lot of confidence that we wouldn't fall. And Hashem said, no. If this is the life you're leading, I'm going to knock you down. And it was much worse because we fell from such higher heights. Bila Adonai velo chamal eit kol neot Yaakov. Bila Hashem. Hashem destroyed. Velo chamal, and he didn't take mercy, et kol neot Yaakov, all the houses of Jacob. Haras be'evrato mivtzerei vat Yehuda higia la'aretz chilel mamlacha v'sareham. Hashem knocked down the houses, the fortresses of Judea. And over here, the simple reading is the way we've read it. The deeper interpretation is that we're talking about the shuls of Yehuda. Those are the fortresses. The Bate Medrash of Yaakov, they were destroyed. And Hashem flattened Judea. Chilel mamlacha, Hashem trampled. Hashem destroyed the kingdom. Vesareha, and its leaders. And the simple understanding here is it's talking about the people of Israel, the kingdom of Israel. The deeper understanding here, it's talking about the kingdom of Israel, meaning that the idea that we were gifted, Hashem said, you are going to be mamlechet kohanim, a kingdom. We were each entitled to be a prince. Hashem said, I want you each to hold yourself to a higher standard. And that's mamlacha, the kingdom of kings, the kingdom of sarea, of nobles. And Chazal tell us that in the time of the first temple, there were wicked people who knew how to master the different forces above. They knew how to say different incantations and force angels to do things on their behalf. And Hashem kept warning them, I'm going to bring a destruction. And they kept telling the prophets, how could Hashem bring a destruction? We know how to master all the different angels and no one could come and harm us. It seems not. It seems that it's using the names, the Kabbalistic names, one could affect the angels to do things. They said, we'll make it rain torrents, we'll make volcanoes, we'll make all kinds of things happen. They won't be able to attack us. And the prophet kept warning, and they didn't heed his warning. And so when the day came that the Babylonian Empire ascended upon Jerusalem, they tried, and it should have worked. But what Hashem did was Hashem switched the angels, so that the angel that was hitherto responsible for water was now responsible for volcanoes, and vice versa. And now they were trying to do what would have worked in the past, but it didn't work. So Chilel Mamlacha v'Sareha, Chazal interpret to mean, are the Sarim Shel Mala, those that are in charge up above. Hashem said, I'll switch everything in nature. But when I say there'll be destruction, there will be destruction. Gada b'chori af. Hashem uprooted with tremendous anger kol keren Yisrael, all the honor, the glory, the horn of Israel. Heishiv achor yemino mipnei oyev. Hashem pulled back his right hand as though he's tying his hands behind his back. The enemy is attacking and we're turning to Hashem, and Hashem acts as though his hands are tied behind his back. Heishiv achor, he pulled back his right hand and said, I'm not helping when the enemy attacked. Vayival b'Yaakov ke'esh lehava achela saviv. And so the fires burned throughout Jacob. Instead of Rishafea, Rishpei Eish Shalhevet Yah, where originally we are told in the Song of Songs that there was a fire of love burning in the temple, and instead now Hashem sent a human fire, a fire that consumed all around Jerusalem. Darach Kashto Ke'oyev. Hashem pulled back his bow as though he was the enemy. Nitzav yemino ketzar vayaharog kol machamadei ayin. And then Hashem stood on the right, so to speak. Hashem stood there as we fled, and Hashem stood killing all the treasured people of Israel. Be'oel bat tzion shafach ka'esh chamato. And in the tent of the daughter of Zion, Hashem threw his anger like a fire, and Hashem sent desolation and destruction throughout Jerusalem and throughout Judea. Haya Adonai ke'oyev bila Yisrael. Hashem was like our enemy, and he destroyed Israel. Bila kol ha'menoteha, destroyed all the castles. Shichet mivtzarav, Hashem destroyed all the fortifications. And this is again the tremendous perspective that the Navi gives us, that we look at it as a natural occurrence. Sure, every nation has their golden era, every nation has their troublesome era, every kingdom falls eventually. No. The Navi kept warning, and here again, remember, this was foreshadowing. The book of Eicha was written before it actually happened. And the Navi is describing how all the castles, all the fortifications, it will all be destroyed. But again, the power of Eicha is that it's describing it in the past tense. we're still reading it because the description is accurate. And you'll notice the Chaf HaDimyon, Ki Oyev, in the previous Pasuk, Ki Oyev, in the beginning of the Megillah, Ki Almana. He keeps saying, we were like a widow, he was like an enemy, stressing again that hidden factor that it's only like. He isn't really the enemy, but he was forced into it, so to speak, by our actions. Vayerev bivat Yehuda. Hashem made plenty within the daughter of Judea. Ta'aniya va'aniya. Weeping upon weeping. This night would become the night where time and again, and we saw it in our own lifetime, there would be Vayerev Bevat Yehuda. Hashem would make the weeping plenty throughout Judea. Vayachmos Kagan Sukko Shichet Moado. Hashem destroyed, like one who's cutting up vegetables from his garden, Hashem destroyed his own home. The garden, it's natural. You planted the vegetables in order to collect them. But here Hashem went to his own home and uprooted. Took things out from the root, destroyed things down to the foundation in his own home, in the temple. Shichet Moado. He destroyed his location. Moed is a place that's known as a place of gathering. That's the place where Hashem would meet with his people. And that's what he destroyed. Shikach Adonai B'tzion Moed V'Shabbat Vayinatz B'zam Apo Melech V'Kohen. Hashem made Shabbos and holidays be forgotten from Zion. And one understanding is there were no more Jews there to celebrate Shabbos or Yom Tov. The other understanding is that Hashem took the joy out of Shabbos and Yom Tov. The years leading up to the destruction, and then the destruction, and then the enslavement following the destruction, so the Jewish people didn't experience a Shabbos and Yom Tov again. They didn't experience the joy of Shabbos and Yom Tov again. Vayin'atz b'zam apo, and in Hashem's anger, he cursed, he destroyed the king and the Kohen Gadol. The king was Tzidkiyahu, who was blinded, and the Kohen Gadol was Srayahu, who was the Kohen Gadol. Zanach Adonai Mizbecho Ni'el Mikdasho. Hashem, so to speak, forgot, he annulled his own altar. Ni'el Mikdasho. He kicked his own temple. He annulled his own temple. Hisgil biyad oyev chomot almenoteham. Hashem gave over to the hands of the enemy. Hashem forfeited to the enemy the fortifications, the walls of its palaces. Kol natenu beveit Adonai. And the enemies, as they trumpeted their victory, they started singing, trampling through the temple, and the ruckus was as loud as the joy that had hitherto been heard on Pesach, when all of Am Yisrael came up. So the temple was a place where we were accustomed to hearing a lot of noise. You have a million people there, there's going to be noise. But the enemy, their noise was the noise of destruction as they trampled through the temple. Chashav Adonai lehashchit chomat bat Zion. It's been ages that Hashem has been thinking, so to speak, contemplating the destruction of the walls of Zion. Natakav. And Hashem drew a red line. Hashem said, there's going to be justice, and I will draw the line. Lo heshiv yado mi baleya. And when Hashem decided that we crossed the line, so then Hashem kept hitting and didn't hold back from destroying. Vayavel chel vechoma yachdav umlalu. And Hashem destroyed the different walls. Chel and choma are two walls. When they'd have fortifications around the city, so they'd have a higher wall and a lower wall. In case they came over the higher wall, they'd still be detained by the lower wall. So that was a way of protecting the walls. Now, I'm not sure if the lower wall was on the outside of the higher wall or on the inside of the higher wall. It might make more sense it was on the outside of the higher wall to keep enemies from approaching the higher wall, battering the higher wall. Maybe it was on the outside. That's chel and choma, the two types of walls. One was higher, one was lower. The chel is the lower one. Choma is the higher one. So maybe the chel was outside. Taveu va'aretz she'areha ibad v'shibar b'richeha. The gates of Zion sunk into the ground. Suddenly they couldn't hold people out. Our sages say, what does it mean they sunk into the ground? So the simple reading is, this is metaphoric. They broke through. Ibad v'shibar b'richeha. Hashem destroyed all the bolts. There were no more fortifications. But Chazal tell us that no, these were special gates. These were gates that King David erected. And whatever King David brought to the temple never fell into the hands of the enemy. Anything Moshe did and anything David HaMelech did not fall into the hands of the enemy. So we have a tradition that something happened with these gates. Chazal say, whatever they mean by it, Chazal say the gates were swallowed into the ground. And the enemies never got their hands on it. So that's what the pasuk literally says. But what does that mean? I don't know. Yeah?
What is the significance of the smaller
tet? The smaller tet. On Tav'u. I don't know.
I assume it's written that way in the Kedah as well.
Mm-hmm.
All
the old city was
like below
me,
you
know? Like, that's what we walk on now, and like, 100 meters or above the actual city, right? I hear, I don't know. Tav'u va'aretz she'areha. So, why is this of importance that the gates were sunk? So our sages say, why did the gates sink? Because the gates didn't deserve to be taken by the enemy. The Talmud tells us, the Medrash tells us, that when King David, when King Solomon was inaugurating the temple, so it came time to enter with the Aron, so the gates wouldn't open. What does it mean, the gates wouldn't open? So the simple reading is, the Medrash says, the gates wouldn't open. They couldn't unlock the gates. They want to bring in the Aron to the Holy of Holies, and they can't get the Aron, and they can't get the gates open. And King Solomon realized there was something miraculous going on. It should have worked. And he started singing songs of praise, and nothing worked, until finally he said, open up the gates in the merit of my father David. And then the gates swung open in honor of the Torah. The gates opened up. So Chazal tell us, the gates opened up in honor of the Aron and King David, and the gates that honored the Aron, they swung open in honor of the Aron, so those who honored Torah, they weren't taken by the enemies. And this is a hidden rebuke to the people. Look at what bittul Torah can cause. A person who doesn't dedicate the time he should to learning Torah. Look, even the gates, they respected the Torah, so the enemies destroyed every other part of the temple, but not those gates. So that's, according to Chazal, that's the message of Tav'u Ba'aretz She'areha. Malkaha, her king, Visareha Vagoyim, and her nobles, were exiled out among the nations. Ein Torah. What does that mean? There's no Torah. So one understanding is that there's no leadership. There's no one there to guide them. Ein Torah. There's no one to teach them Torah. Another understanding is because they didn't learn Torah. Ein Torah is explaining why were the leaders exiled. It's as though they didn't accept it at Sinai. No one was learning it. The leaders weren't learning it. The kings weren't interested. The nobles weren't interested. So that's why everyone was exiled. And the third understanding is one which you probably heard many times here at Machon Meir. The Medrash says, Malkah v'sareh v'goyim. Even the leaders, even the giants in Torah, the kings of Torah, so to speak, when they're out b'goyim among the nations, ain't Torah, then their Torah isn't real Torah. The Torah in Chutz Aretz isn't, that's what the Medrash over here says, that that's the interpretation. Gam nevi'eha lo matzeu chazon me'adonai. Hashem withheld the Ruach HaKodesh, and even the prophets couldn't hear from Hashem, what's going on? What are we supposed to do? No more vision. Yeshivu la'aretz yidimu ziknei vat tzion. The elders sit in silence. Helo afar al rosham. They put earth on their heads. They wrap themselves in sackcloth. So the simple understanding is this is over the destruction. Chazal say there was more going on here. Tzidkiyahu once walked into Nebuchadnezzar's palace. You guys know the story? Saw him eating a live rabbit. So he's munching away at the rabbit as the rabbit is squirming in his hands, and Nebuchadnezzar looks up and he sees Tzidkiyahu. So he got very embarrassed. Aver min achai, even among the nations, he'd be embarrassed if people got word of it. So he grabs Tzidkiyahu and makes him swear that he'll never tell. And an opportunity came where Tzidkiyahu did tell. And so Nebuchadnezzar came and attacked, and then he grabbed the elders, threw them to the floor, and said, explain to me. Doesn't it say in your Torah that when someone takes a vow by Hashem, he's not allowed to lie? Tell me, how did he transgress? Didn't your own king? He promised me he wouldn't tell. So Chazal give us more detail about the story. He summoned the Sanhedrin. And when he saw they were so respectable, he gave them each a gold room to sit in, and he said, I want you to arrange each parsha in the Torah and translate it for me. And when they reached the parsha of Nedarim, of taking vows, he says, could a person annul a vow? So they said, yes, a person can go to a rabbi and annul a vow that he took. He said, aha, so then you're the ones behind Tzidkiyahu going against his vow. And then he ordered them thrown to the ground, had their hairs tied to the tails of horses, and they were dragged through the city by their heads and killed that way. So that, Chazal says, is what the Pasuk is alluding to. That Yeshivu la'aretz yidmu ziknei vatzion. The elders of Zion were silenced as they were sitting on the ground. He'elu afar al rosham. They put earth on their heads, chageru sakim, and wore sackcloth. Horidu la'aretz roshan betulot Yerushalayim. The virgins of Jerusalem lowered their heads to the ground. Kalu v'demaot einai chomar merumei. My eyes are worn out of tears. My innards are totally scorched. Nishpach la'aretz kevedi. My liver has been spilled to the ground. Al shevil bat ami, over the destruction of my nation. Ve'yatef oleil ve'yoneik bilchovot kilya, as the babies and the sucklings are all folded over in famine throughout the streets of the city. Leimotam yomeru ayei dagan vayayin. They tell their mothers, do you have any grain? Where's there some food? Where's there some wine? Can we have something to eat or drink? Deitatefam kechalal bilchovot il. As they're hungry and they're dying like the people who were killed by sword throughout the cities. Vishtapech nafsham elchek imotam. They bury their heads into their mother as they pass away of famine. Ma'aidech ma'adam elach. When I want to comfort you, who can I compare you to? What testimony can I give? I've seen someone have it as bad as you. I can't. Ma'aideich. What testimony can I say before you? Ma'adamela. Who can I compare to you? Habat Yerushalayim. The city of Jerusalem. Ma'ashvelach v'anachameich. Betulat. But Zion, who could I compare you to and comfort you, O Virgin of Zion? Ki gadol kayam shivrech mi yirpalach. Because your wave is as big as the large sea itself. And so who's going to heal you? This wave is bigger than anyone can comfort. And it's interesting that over here the Targum can translates Bat Zion differently than throughout the Nevuah. Over here he translates the word Bat Zion, the unification of Zion. That it's like the shul of Zion. That's what Zion is supposed to be, the place that unifies all of Am Yisrael. So we did half a chapter. And if you guys will have, we'll do another half chapter later.